And things of that sort. And I would also suggest, I don't know what product or what niche she has, but she might want to look into upsells.
Yep.
Because that one thing by itself just turn everything into a profit. Because, see, the thing with this, she's buying traffic, and she might be making $5-$10 per affiliate sale.
Uh-huh.
And she might just be breaking even because it's not that much money. But now, if she has something to sell them on the back end,
uh-huh.
She's no longer breaking even.
Right.
Now she's basically getting free leads, in
yep.
a sense. You know, she pays $10 and she makes $10, but now she has a $500 product to sell them.
Right, yep.
So that one small change in your business model can turn a losing business into a profitable one.
Excellent. Next question from Glenn Morgan. And Glenn wants to know, says, well, Anik, it finally happened. I'm now completely broke. Fortunately, I was able to purchase your affiliate classroom course and Howard Moreland's free ad secrets before MasterCard opted out of the business. So I have the two courses and a firstpromotion.com ClickBank storefront website. Now what do I do?
Ooh. Well, I would say she needs to go after some things that don't involve her credit card.
Yeah.
Howard Moreland's free ad secrets, I don't have it, but it's the name sounds catchy. If it's free, then it sounds like it's right down her alley. I would focus on things like, God, I feel like a broken record sometimes, but, you know, focus on things like links, recruiting, forum promotions, you know, participate in some forums to get yourself traffic, do article submissions. For the next, you know, you've maxed out your credit cards. Do not buy ads now. Do not do it. 100%, do not go out and buy solo ads. Don't even test it. Don't even worry about it. There's many avenues of getting free traffic. It just needs more work. Yeah, recruiting links is a lot harder than buying yourself traffic from pay-per-click.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? You're in a position right now. What I would do is work hard, focus on building traffic through the free resources, and then all the money you get from those free resources, like all that, the few sales that you manage to get,
uh-huh.
Every penny of that then goes into buying advertising.
Right, yeah. Perfect. Next question is from Kusuma Widjaja. And the question is, he would like the question answered as from an affiliate marketer point of view. The first question is, how does RSS work? Maybe
okay.
We should start off by what is RSS and how does it work?
Right. So RSS, I don't remember what it stands for. It has some simple... Anyways, what RSS basically is it's a feed that goes on your website.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it's a little... Like, you put in a little code on your page, and every day your server will automatically go to a specified site,
uh-huh.
pull up some articles, and then put them on your website.
Okay.
All right? Now, why would you want to do this? First of all, these articles are not affiliate linked. So if someone clicks it, you're not going to get any credit.
Uh-huh.
So why in the world do I want to do this? Well, the main reason is for search engines. Because now what you're doing is you're putting fresh content on your website every day. So search engines are going to rank you quicker, and they're going to put you up higher. So in turn, yeah, it's going to become money for you.
Uh-huh.
And people want to know, okay, well, where does this RSS content come from?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it's getting to become a big thing, so a lot of different sites are now offering it. I know Yahoo has its own program. I believe even CNN has a program, and then lots of other sites now have RSS feeds
okay.
that are free for you to use. And this is completely legal, by the way. They love it. You know, Yahoo loves it because if anyone clicks on that link, they go to the Yahoo site. So
right, yeah.
They're getting traffic, so they don't mind you using that as much as you want.
Okay. Excellent. So, yeah, that's actually the next... pretty much the next question is, where can I find RSS-enabled websites that I can use to get their RSS code and convert it with RSS Equalizer software?
Right. So I haven't, you know, I want to make sure everyone knows I'm not a huge RSS expert yet. I'm kind of a little bit behind on it, but I do use RSS Equalizer with my sites. And the reason I use RSS Equalizer and yet I say I know nothing about RSS is because it's pretty simple software.
Uh-huh.
And it's very self-explanatory, and it does everything for me without me really having to know what it's doing.
Okay.
It's set up by default to pull from Yahoo.
Huh?
And that's what I use.
Okay.
Yahoo has, you know, it's definitely one of the top sites. I think it's the number one most visited website. So they're going to have all the forms of content you can ever probably hope for. So, and it comes with that pre-programmed into the RSS equalizer. So you really don't even need to worry about it. Just go with Yahoo.
Okay. So then if I did want to go with RSS equalizer, what is it, a piece of software that I put on my website then?
It's a piece of software that you install onto your server.
Okay.
And then it gives you, what it does is you set it up, you put all your settings, like, okay, I want you to get your feed from Yahoo, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. And then it gives you, it pops out a little code.
Okay.
And you copy and paste that code on your website.
Okay, so is it any different than if you actually went to the RSS section of Yahoo and just got their code?
No idea. That's a great question.
Okay.
And
but
I'm
basically
being
100%
honest. I have no clue, and I think that when RSS Equalizer came out,
uh-huh.
It wasn't quite so automated.
Okay.
So someone would want to use RSS Equalizer, but I think since then it's becoming a huge hit, and I think these websites like Yahoo and them are now starting to give you ways that you can just take their content directly. RSS Equalizer also has some added benefits, like, for example, it will track your pages for you, and it lets you know which pages are getting the most hits.
Okay.
It just some cool little benefits on the corner. And plus, it just automates everything for you, so it's kind of, like, easy. If you're going to do it from Yahoo, they might give you instructions, like, you need to change this setting on your server, you need to do this, you need to do that.
Uh-huh.
And if you're not savvy enough, then you might just screw things up. So
right, okay.
That's all a guess, and I have to say that I'm not 100% sure about how that works.
Okay, that's fair enough. Next question is, what is blogging, and how can a blog benefit us as affiliate marketers?
Okay, so a blog has taken off like in the last year, like massively. It's really just a web journal. That's what a blog is.
Okay.
So like people keep journals. Every day they write something in their journal. It's just that, but you're doing it online.
Uh-huh.
Now, the reason blogs are so nice is, first of all, they create, somehow by standard, blogs have been known to create very clean HTML.
Uh-huh.
So very search engine friendly HTML.
Okay.
And since blogs should typically be updated frequently, search engines see lots of frequent changes and lots of content updates.
Uh-huh.
So you'll be shocked to see how quickly blogs go up the search engine rankings.
Okay.
So that's how an affiliate marketer can use it, because if you set up a blog and all you have to do within your blog is, you know, punch in some keywords and then keep it updated,
uh-huh.
It's going to eventually sneak up there in the rankings, and it's going to start referring you traffic.
So can you design the page that you have your blog on, can you put some banners or some ads on that page as well, or is it just your journal?
Depending on what software you're using.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people like to use blogger.com.
Okay.
It's a free blog, 100% free. You just sign up for an account, and what they do is, let's say my name is, you know, let's say I set up a blog for myself, which I have yet to do, but I'm going to do soon.
Uh-huh.
It would be onyxsingle.blogspot.com.
Uh-huh.
And they have, you know, it's a pretty integrated system. It's pretty neat. You can do a lot with it, but I'm not so sure if you can put banners and whatnot. But within the text itself, you can put ads, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of scripts for blogs, a lot. And there's some scripts out there that are so good that you can create an entire website in a blog format.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, at that point, yeah, you can put banners, you can put anything you want.
Excellent. So what's the difference then from a search engine standpoint? What's the difference between having a blog and using an RSS feed?
Blogs are, an RSS feed also, the issue with that I think is going to become is a lot of people might be pulling the same content and putting it on the pages, and there might be a lot of people having the same stuff throughout the internet, and you know, search engines frown upon repeated content.
Yeah.
Another thing is, I think blog, you know, an RSS feed is put in the middle of a page.
Okay.
That page might have ugly HTML coding.
Right.
It might not be search engine friendly in other means. It may be the RSS, yeah, it gives it updated content, but the rest of the page is not conveniently optimized.
Okay.
So blogs are working well because they're very, very search engine friendly.
Okay. Because they're clean, the HTML is very clean as well.
Right. And their unique content. Pretty much only you have that post.
Now, the next question, and I don't give anybody's name because this is still from the same person. To be indexed faster, are there other special tricks rather than linking to my newly built website to other popular websites? Okay. Say PR5. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, the last part, she's referring to the PR of a website on Google.
Okay.
And I'll give a quick background on that because most people won't understand it.
No. Including me.
Okay, great. A website that links to you, every website on the internet has a PR. Google gives it a PR, whether you have a zero PR or you have a PR of 8 or 9.
What's PR?
PR is basically their way of, how do I explain this? It's PageRank, first of all, is what it stands for.
Okay.
But it's not like you're ranking on the search engine hit. It really just means if I have a PR of 3 or 4 or 5,
mm-hmm.
it represents the number of people that are really linking to me.
Okay.
So it's kind of like it's really like a link popularity index in a sense.
Okay.
So, you know, and it's calculated using various really complicated, they have their own little complicated algorithm for it, but in essence it comes down to how many sites are linking to you and how many are you linking to.
Okay.
So you want to try to minimize the amount that you link to and maximize the amount that link to you.
Okay, yeah.
So a PR5 is really the first good number. Like PR5, once you hit PR5, that means you have a fair amount of sites linking to you and you have a good reputation with Google.
Okay.
And at a PR5 level, Google will likely visit your website every day.
Wow.
Just to snoop around and check what's going on.
Okay.
That's been debated, and a lot of people have debated it with me, but my bottom line is on my own sites that have a PR5, I see Google at least every other day at the worst, but I see them like every day.
Wow. Now, how do you find out that Google's been there?
I have my cPanel has a WebStat program that tracks Google.
Okay.
And there's a lot of other programs out there that will do the same for you. And so what has been taught, and I teach this in my DominateSearchEngines.com course, is that if you want to get indexed quickly, you need to get at least a PR5 to link to you.
Okay.
And that's what she's asking. Is there any other way than to get a PR5? The reason she's asking is probably because sometimes it's not easy to get a PR5 to link to you.
Right, yeah.
It can be either expensive or it's just, you know, people with PR5s are kind of probably snooty a little bit.
Okay. Now, but how do you find out?
How do you find a PR?
Yeah, how do I, like if I visit a website, how do I know if it's a PR0 or a PR5?
Okay, so if you go to Google and you download their toolbar, and you install their toolbar,
okay.
Every site you visit, there's a little green thing on the top.
Okay.
And it's a little bar, and if you roll over the bar, it tells you exactly how much PR that site has.
Okay.
And actually, by the way, each page of each site has a different PR.
Okay. So is it more beneficial to have a home page with PR5 than it is to have like a second or third page PR5?
No, because if you have a second or third page that's PR5,
uh-huh.
probably your home page is a PR6 or 7.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It goes down as in levels.
Okay.
So the higher your PRs of your sub pages, actually, the better your PR would be for the home page.
Okay.
So, okay, is there anything to get faster? I'll be 100% honest with you. Not really. Linking and getting people to link to you is the fastest way to have fast indexing. Lately, there has been some interesting stuff going on with blogging and pinging.
And what?
Pinging.
Ping. Okay. What's pinging?
Ping, I'm very, very amateur at this. I just started reading about it, so I'll give a quick synopsis, but by all means, I am not the person to listen to about this.
Okay.
Ping is when, like, let's say you have a blog. You go to a site called pingomatic.com. I don't know what it was. It was pingsomething.com.
Okay.
And you just type it in real quick, and you just hit a button. And what it does is it alerts all the servers, like in the entire world or something crazy like that. And it lets them know that, oh, there's been an update done to this site.
Okay.
And then Google runs to your site immediately because they say, oh, look, update. Got to go there and check it out. What's going on?
Uh-huh.
And what that's doing is people are able to get Google to come to their site. And what they do is wherever they ping, like if whatever blog I have, I put a link to my site on that blog.
Okay, yeah.
So that when they visit my site, my blog, after I ping it, they'll automatically visit my site also. And if my site is not indexed, Google will say, "Ooh, what's this? It's not indexed. Let me look around and maybe I'll index it."
Okay, so when your blog gets spidered, it follows all the links in your blog.
It does that for anything, even on a regular website. When it comes to a website, Google always follows the links to other sites and stuff like that.
Okay, beautiful.
That's how they're able to determine your PR, because that's how they determine how many people are linking to you.
Okay, yeah.
So I honestly think linking is the best way, but yeah, blogging and pinging has been a late hit, and it's showing that people are getting indexed into Google within 3 days.
By simply blogging and pinging.
Yeah, and like I said, I have done very minimal research, so I'm not an expert to talk about it. But, hey, it sounds like it's promising. I would suggest people research it. I'm going to be doing some work on it for next month so I can talk to affiliate classroom members about it. But
excellent.
I don't know too much yet.
Okay, super. Next question is, if we would like to optimize a site, I believe we must research our keywords first. For example, using Overture Keywords Selector Tool to judge our keywords' popularity. What other aspects do I have to consider to research our keywords before building a website?
Okay, you need to see the number of searches so that you know it's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
You need to see your competition,
uh-huh.
How many websites are already up and running for that keyword.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, really all you need to look into, and this is what I look into, is a little thing they call KEI.
Okay.
Keyword something something index, and I totally forgot what it is, but it was created by a search engine optimizer. I think her name is Samantha Roy or something like that. She's in India. She's one of the top search engine people. The index has a formula, and I'm forgetting the formula, but what it basically does is it takes into effect the searches and the competition.
Uh-huh.
And typically they say that if your KEI comes out between 0 and 1, like at the decimal, then that's just a sucky keyword. Don't go for it. It's too competitive.
Okay.
If it comes out between, 1 and 5, then it's still bad, but not too bad. If it comes out between 5 and 10, it's okay. And 10 plus is good, very good keyword to go after.
Okay.
There's a service, wordtracker.com. It's
uh-huh.
awesome. It's an amazing service. And what they do is, you can literally type in one keyword and it'll pop out hundreds for you, and then it'll do a KEI analysis of all of them for you at the same time.
Wow, okay.
And then it'll rank them. It'll rank them by KEI, so you can just start at the top and work your way down.
Fantastic.
It's a great tool, and I'm forgetting the formula that you use for KEI. It's pretty neat. I know if you sign up for I can't check it right now, but I know if you go ahead and sign up for the newsletter I offer, it's in there. I just forgot what it is.
Okay, super. Next thing is, I see that you own DominateSearchEngines.com and AffiliateClassroom.com. Just using these two websites as examples, what are the right keywords for both of them? Now, when I type in Dominate Search Engines at Google, DominateSearchEngines.com is not number one. Why is that?
Okay, so that's actually an excellent question. And what it is, I'll be honest, I have not optimized the DominateSearchEngines.com.
Okay.
And a lot of people say, well, why? Well, first of all, it's really just a one-page site.
Uh-huh.
And it's promoting a traffic equalizer training program.
Uh-huh.
And search engine optimization, as I've made pretty clear, it's a pretty, it's a lengthy process.
Uh-huh.
And search engine optimizers themselves go after keywords like search engine optimization like you won't believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they spend their life and day on it. It's just an ego run.
Okay.
And one of the funniest things we found was, this was a research I read, is that it was some crazy number of percentage of people who actually look for the keyword search engine optimization
uh-huh.
are actually search engine optimizers themselves.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, it's just a waste of a keyword to go after, because it's just it's just an ego, basically. It's an ego run.
Okay.
The reason DominateSearchEngines.com is just not coming up at number one is for a few reasons. You need to have an active linking strategy to come up as number one, and I have not done that just because, like I said, it is a one-page sales site. It's hard to get people to link to it.
Uh-huh.
It's also very time-consuming. So I rather focus on optimizing the other sites than other projects I'm working on. And it's not like, you can go to my DominateSearchEngines.com and I show you over 10 case studies.
Uh-huh.
Of all my other websites that I have optimized.
Right, yeah.
So it's, you know, so you can get proof. But yeah, that particular site, just not doing it because I didn't see the payoff for optimizing for that keyword. It would take me a long time, but it gets maybe 2 searches a month for that particular keyword that you mentioned.
Right, okay. Excellent. Now, next thing is, suppose I want to make a website just like Friendster.com, and I'd like to have a high rank in the search term Online Friends Club. Is it wise to pick OnlineFriendsClub.com as a domain name?
Most definitely. It's not going to make you number one on its own, but it'll definitely help.
Okay.
It's definitely going to help. It used to be back in the day that itself might be enough to get you to be number one.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays, you know, there's a lot less focus on your domain name. But it still helps, and if you can get that domain name, it's nice just because it's also a memorable domain name.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, having your main keyword in your domain name still helps, and it's still a good strategy. It's still something good to have. But it's not good enough on its own.
Okay, super. Okay, next question is from John Mann. He says, I'm an affiliate marketer who uses AdWords in conjunction with my affiliate marketing. I need a good, reliable way to track my visitors from the first click, be it a click on an AdWords ad or an email link or a signature file in a forum or whatever, all the way through to the final click where they click to buy. Now, whether it's on one of my websites or on a vendor site. And Click Analyzer is the only tool that I found that'll do this for me, but I have some issues with Click Analyzer. So I've tried to install AdTracks, but it doesn't work on Windows websites like mine. Can you recommend any other product that will track my visitors like I'd like it to?
Yeah, one of my biggest weaknesses, and I'm trying to work on it because I'm lazy, is tracking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really the best service I have used that I've liked is Clickalyzer, and I don't think I have anything else for him that I use. Other than, you know, as a merchant, I use my affiliate program script a lot to track everything. But as an affiliate, yeah, that's always a tricky area, so I don't know if I can offer him much answer on that.
Okay, that's fair. Next is Samuel Nicholas, and he wants to know, what is the quickest, easiest way for a complete newbie to make money ASAP? Is it affiliates, niche marketing, resale rights, or what?
I'm going to say it's probably a combination of resale rights and affiliate marketing.
Okay.
And what I'm going to say is you set up a site where you're selling someone an affiliate product, considering that it's kind of a low-priced product. It really depends on what you buy resale rights to.
Uh-huh.
If you buy resale rights to something that's expensive, like a high-ticket item, then you use your affiliate product as a low-ticket item, and then you upsell them your resale right product.
Okay. Yeah.
Or if the resale rights is to maybe to an ebook that's only $30 itself, then what I would do, I would still combine the affiliate marketing. What you do then is you have someone coming to your site, and you're selling the resale rights product, and then you're back-ending them with a series and the autoresponder with different affiliate products.
Okay, yeah.
The reason that I look over resale rights over affiliate marketing in this case is because resale rights, you get to keep 100% of the profits.
Right, yeah.
So it gives you a little bit more leverage to use for advertising. But at the same time, people should realize that the resale rights are also not, you know, they're not free. They take some capital to start with.
Exactly, yeah. Next question from Joey Phillips says, how do I effectively use Google AdWords to get clicks from people willing to buy the affiliate products I promote?
Well, lately they made that new change now where you have to have your landing page.
Yeah.
So you can't really you technically still can, but it's pretty much impossible to be sending traffic directly to the merchant. Unless you have the number one ad out of everybody competing with you. And so first thing is you got to focus on the keywords. You have to get good keywords. You know, if you're going to, we'll go back to the examples we've been using. If you're selling a dog health vitamin, then just the keyword dog is not good.
Okay.
That's way too general. Someone searching for dog could be looking for anywhere from like a skirt for their dog to, you know, anything, and they're not going to be interested in a vitamin. But you know what a great keyword is dog vitamin. That's an excellent keyword. It's a very targeted customer. Another key that I always use, and I've been using this more and more, and it works, is I always put the price in the ad.
Uh-huh.
I drastically decreases my click-through.
Yeah.
But that's good because that means I'm getting more qualified buyers and my advertising expense decreases, but my revenue increases.
Right, okay.
And then I don't really like sending people directly to a merchant page, which is good. You can't really do that now anyways.
Uh-huh.
So you need to have kind of your own page. And so what I'll do is I'll send someone to what I call a pre-qualifying page. So if I'm selling like a dog vitamin, I might send them to a quick page that says, you know, if you want a vitamin that can increase your dog's blah, 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 you know, yada, yada, yada,
mm-hmm.
Here's a vitamin I recommend, and I give them a link. And then they click out to the link, and they go to the merchant.
Okay, yeah.
So those are the main three things I would say is you got to pick out the good keywords, targeted. Don't pick keywords that are too general. Make your ad as qualifying as possible, meaning make sure to describe your product in detail. Uh-huh. Don't be general. Put the price in the ad, and then take them to a pre-qualifying page where they see. Take them to a pre-qualifying page where, you know, you kind of pre-sell them and you kind of already introduce them to the product.
Okay, so you really your ad pre-qualifies them, and then the landing page you send them to pre-qualifies them again, so they're definitely in a buying frame of mind by the time they actually get to the affiliate site.
Exactly.
Oh, that's excellent. Next one from Gary Armstrong says, I guess the most pressing thing on my mind as an affiliate is how do you do a joint venture with someone when all you have is an affiliate website?
I love this question because this is where I really, really, really got unique in my marketing when I started as an affiliate marketer.
Uh-huh.
Joint venturing, as most people know, is one of the best ways to market. It's just one of the quickest. It needs no money. And you can literally take advantage, well, not, you know, advantage in a bad sense, but you can take benefit from someone's year's worth of work.
Uh-huh.
In the flash. And so I was disappointed that as an affiliate I can't use it.
Right.
So, no, there's actually three different ways that you can use another affiliate who might even be a competing affiliate
uh-huh.
as your joint venture partner.
Maybe we should explain what is a joint venture first just before you get into the advantage.
Sure. Joint venture is, I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm promoting affiliateclassroom.com.
Uh-huh.
So I have a list of members who are interested in affiliate marketing.
Uh-huh.
Now, someone comes out with a killer software like Advert Analyzer,
uh-huh.
and it's meant for, you know, it's good for affiliates.
Uh-huh.
So Jeff Alderson, who's the creator of Advert Analyzer, approaches me and says, hey, look, I have an excellent product that I think your people would love and would help them a lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm proposing that you send a message to your list about it, you endorse it, you promote this product, and I will split the commission, I'll split the revenue with you.
Okay.
Or it doesn't even have to be about money. The joint venture could be you promote my product and I'll promote yours.
Okay, yeah.
A joint venture is just an agreement between two people of some form.
Uh-huh.
And it's usually like two businesses or two people running a business.
Okay.
So, if you're an affiliate, you don't have rights to distribute commission.
Right.
So that's what people are saying. Like, how can I be a joint venture partner with somebody when I'm not the owner of the product? Right. Why would they want to joint venture with me? They can just go directly to the merchant.
Yep.
So here's why. First of all, maybe they don't want to joint venture with you, but maybe you can go to them and say, hey, look, if it's a two-tier program, do what we've been talking about. Go to them and say, look, why don't you join under my second tier? Or you don't say that to them, but you say, look, it's an awesome program. I noticed you're selling this product. I have a website about something similar. I promote these guys. They convert well for me. They'd probably do well for you.